playground.
Hooray!
Hey! It's my song! Let's sing it!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
Come on!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
You know the words!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
That's it! Say!
It's gonna be fucking awesome!
Hello everybody, it's Saturday morning and we've got another special mini episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. Last week we did Secret Invasion and 10 other Marvel Cinematic Universe comic book adaptations in name only, meaning they used the name from a comic book, but the thing that they named after the comic book is not remotely reflective of the comic book that people like you and I read. And I thought only appropriate that we should do the same thing for the DC Cinematic Universe. So this week, we've got Peacemaker and 10 other DC Cinematic Universe comic book adaptations in name only. Yeah, you may not know this, but Peacemaker, I love Peacemaker. I really enjoyed the series, but it is not reflective of the character as he's existed in the comics for a long time, for his inception. Although now he is reflective in the comic books of the TV show that James Gunn produced and basically the character that James Gunn created. Because he was kind of a Punisher type, typical kind of vigilante. Speaking of vigilante, his co-captain in Peacemaker, the vigilante, that character is not being depicted the way he's traditionally been depicted in the comics. I can't say that these two characters had been elevated particularly high in the echelons of DC, so nobody was particularly upset when they were rewritten and given a little bit of a new shtick. In some cases, when these characters are given a new lease on life, it's a benefit. It's a benefit to the comic books. It's a benefit to the film universes and the TV shows because it's good. The combination of John Cena as the actor and this quirky character that James Gunn has created here, which is really what he's done. He's taken a name and a basic look of Peacemaker, the character from the comics, and he's made something new. And that's okay because I love the new thing that he made. And in some cases, some of the things on this list are going to be perfectly acceptable entries into the DC Cinematic Universe. But as is the case with reality, they don't actually reflect anything from the comic books that they're based on. And in general, you know, I poo-poo that idea. Granted, there are some characters that are waiting to be adjusted by comic book writers like me all the time. Some characters that aren't exactly setting the charts on fire, like Vigilante and Peacemaker, or aren't being published because they don't set the chart on fire. And it's wonderful to have a brilliant creative person like James Gunn come in and redo this thing. But we don't want to see James Gunn come in and redo Superman. We want to see James Gunn come in and do Superman justice. And that is really a great segue right now because kicking off our list at number one, it's 1983's Superman 3, which was more about Richard Pryor than it was about Christopher Reeve's Superman. And Richard Pryor's character is not a character from the damn comic books. So right there, right off the bat, get rid of it. What are we doing here? Why do we have a Superman movie focused on a weird Richard Pryor character? Also, number two, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Superman fighting this nuclear man guy. I don't believe he was ever in the comics prior to being introduced in the films. He has been since introduced into the comic books. And this idea of him going around trying to disarm the nuclear weapons of the whole world is a pretty cool idea, but it has no basis in the books. There is no comic book that I can point to and say, hey, you want to read the real story of a quest for peace? No, it doesn't exist. This is Superman in name only. Okay, continuing on our list at number three, we've got Steel. Steel, starring Shaquille O'Neal. In a lot of ways, Steel is a loving adaptation of John Henry Irons, the character. But John Henry Irons is one of my favorite characters in DC Comics. And it is because of his origin in connection to Superman, which this movie does not contain And for me, it is the thing that makes him move. It's the thing that makes him real. It's the thing that makes you want to write him, want to read his stories. John Henry Irons is only steel because Superman saved his life. Superman saved his life, and he says to Superman, "What do I do to repay you?" And Superman says, "Make it count." And I'm paraphrasing here. This might not be the exact words that he uses. And after Superman dies, he picks up the S and goes, "Well, somebody's got to be around doing this, saving people." I can't even say it out loud without crying about it because it's just so beautiful. It's such a beautiful moment in comic books when John Henry Irons is saved by Superman and he decides to pay it forward in the greatest possible way by becoming a hero himself, putting his own skills to use as a craftsman and making himself an armor so he too can be like Superman and go around the world and save people. What a wonderful, wonderful piece of the DC Comics mythology. And it's not in Steel. When people said, "Oh, I love Steel," it wasn't because we wanted to see him removed from his real origin. And the WB, Warner Brothers, they owned Superman. They could have made Steel linked to Superman. That would have been brilliant. It would have been amazing. That would have been the beginning of a little bit of a Superman universe and the films and so many other things. What a disappointment it was when I saw Steel and they didn't even do anything to homage that origin of paying it forward. Someone saved my life, so I'm going to go save others. That is beautiful. All right, at number four, I've got 2004's Catwoman starring Halle Berry. Dude, it isn't even Selena Kyle. It's some name that they made up. And this disgusting costume. I mean, who saw that thing and went, "Yes, this makes Halle Berry look beautiful"? Oh my God. Ugh, what a gaudy, extraneously detailed costume. I mean, they do this all the time where they just add details. Add more details. Make it more in depth. Make you really have to stare at it to figure out what the hell's going on. Guys, the beauty of comic book characters is their silhouettes. The silhouette of the Batman symbol on Batman's chest. The silhouette of Batman in his cape and pointy cowl. The silhouette of Superman with his S on his chest. The silhouette of Superman with his cape and his little spit curl and his booties. Come on. These are the things we want to see. Not all these intricate little details that you're filling up extra space. You're just busying it up. Like everything has to look like H.R. Giger or something like that. Busy, busy, busy. Ugh. That's why the Transformers movies are so disgusting to look at. It's just all this busy work going on. Nothing beautiful about it, man. Busy is not beautiful. If you're going to do busy, you got to really artfully arrange everything so that it's really amazing and interesting to look at and mathematically sound. And they just never do that. Everything just gets busy to its detriment. So Catwoman. Bleh. At number five, in 2006, we've got Superman Returns. That story of Lois and the baby and all this stuff. Like, since then, we do have the story of John Kent. We've got Superman's son in the comics eventually. Perhaps you could even say it's inspired by this. But at the time that they made Superman Returns with Brandon Roth, where it was basically a send-up to the original Christopher Reeve series, he was supposed to be taking over for Christopher Reeves, and this was supposed to be all these years later. All of that story, that was just made up by Hollywood as a sequel to the Richard Donner, Christopher Reeve Superman series, which, as we know, was like completely off the rails as far as Superman is concerned. You know, the Superman 2 Richard Donner cut makes that movie a lot better. The original Superman is wonderful, but Superman 3 and Superman 4, ugh, ugh. So we're continuing that universe with all of those stupid ideas where we have Superman fighting other dudes. Boring, boring. I just want to see Superman fight some cool things, right? You know, he's from space. Let's, you know, send some things from space. The easiest one to have done ages ago would have been Brainiac, but for some reason they still haven't done it. I don't understand why. At number six, we've got Jonah Hex in 2010, starring, what's his name? Thanos. I love Jonah Hex, big Jonah Hex fan, but Jonah Hex has never had any sort of magic thing about him. There's no magic in a book featuring Jonah Hex. He's just essentially like a cowboy, bounty hunter kind of vibe. A really rooted and grounded and gritty Western could have been amazing for a Jonah Hex film. Maybe there was even some interesting magical connection within the whole thing, but not the way they did it here. That movie is essentially its own thing. It's the Jonah Hex the movie studios made up because they're like, well, his name's Hex. Yeah, because he's cursed. Jonah Hex, he's scarred on his face. He's scarred. He's cursed. He's cursed by the war that could be part of the Confederacy and the Civil War. He's cursed in his soul. He's been hexed. He's not because he's like Doctor Strange. And this is like the disgusting thing about when these Hollywood people come in. They literally like handed a name and they're like, Jonah Hex, Jonah Hex, hey. And then they go and they write a movie having not read anything awesome starring the character. Having not come away going, oh man, I understand why this movie got greenlit in the first place. I understand why people like this character, want to see this brought to life on the big screen. Woohoo, let's do it in a satisfying way. Not so much. All right, at number 7, we've got Man of Steel in 2013. Yo, I know that you guys are like, oh, sometimes Superman kills in the comics. Blah, blah. Oh my God, it's not even about that. It is about the depiction of Jonathan Kent, Clark Kent's dad, as some sort of crazy, scared conspiracy theorist. I don't know what you want to call him, but he is negative. He is not optimistic. He is not an idealist. He is not somebody who believes in truth, justice, and the American way. He's somebody who believes that he's nervous about his government, and he's like, and dude, I'm nervous about the government, but that doesn't mean that Clark Kent's dad is. Superman is Superman because Clark Kent's parents are such good people. And they believe in the American dream. They believe in the idea of it. This isn't to say that the American government or whatever has always done right. I'm not somebody who thinks that we've always done right. I'm very disappointed in our actions all around the world. But the idealism of John Kent was passed on to Clark Kent. And Clark is an idealist who is always looking to find a better way in every circumstances, because he could just go around killing everybody. You've seen Homelander on The Boys. That guy is Superman if he had no morals, if he wasn't raised by John Kent, by Pa Kent. Pa Kent is essentially the moral compass of the entire DC comic book universe, because through Superman, who he guided to be who he is, he's affected everyone, generations of heroes, because of his idealism and his wife's idealism, and them instilling that into Clark Kent. It's really the most egregious change on this entire list, because the DC comic book universe hinges upon a Superman who is a pure good idealist, and that hinges upon who he was raised by. I'm an idealist, and the idealists of the world need a Superman. We need a representation of what that looks like, and Superman is supposed to be it. All right, at number 8. We've got Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Now, there are some things in this book that are taking straight out of the comic books, but it's all the context that's all off. Yes, Batman and Superman fight in a similar fashion in Batman The Dark Knight Returns, but Batman The Dark Knight Returns is a repudiation of modern society. It's the future where Superman has basically, his idealism has been corrupted and he's a tool of the establishment, and Batman has to kind of kick his ass to fix things because we're living in a dystopian future. Not Batman so freaking nervous about Superman because Superman's super powerful, and the first thing he does when he shows up on the main stage of things is basically break Zod's neck in his first movie. Dude, that would freak me out if I was Batman too. Lame, 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 lame. You've got a doomsday in here that is this ugly cave troll thing. I don't know why they made him look like that. I don't know why they rushed to Superman fighting Doomsday so freaking quickly. You've got the beginning of the Justice League. That isn't really the beginning of the Justice League. This isn't how the freaking Justice League formed. Would have been much better to introduce all these characters individually first. But this whole movie is just so not what we ordered. Not what we ordered. And in particular, it contains the single most egregious Zack Snyder Superman moment, where Superman's hanging out in a bathtub with Lois Lane, and he can hear someone being robbed or about to be killed, something. He's hearing something going on terribly, and he ignores it so he can hang out and have sexy time with Lois Lane in the bathtub. Oh my goodness! Superman could have zipped out of that room, saved the day, and been back in 3 seconds and returned to the bathtub with Lois Lane and been back to what he was doing. No skin off his back. He could have went, whew, you know, blew a little air off his shoulder like, hey, super, super easy for me. I'm Superman. Barely an inconvenience. I mean, God damn it.
This whole Zack Snyder universe is just too freaking dark, man, and it all is not working because they never got Superman right. It's that's the biggest problem with it. Granted, they should have waited on the Suicide Squad. They should have introduced a lot of villains. They should have waited on the Justice League. They should have introduced a lot of individual characters. It was all very foolish the way they did it. The stupidity of the money people or the presidents and producers, whatever it was, for them to rush ahead to try to catch up to Marvel so they could be defeating them at, like, ugh. Ugh, short-sighted thinking always ruins everything. Okay, moving on. I'm just putting in a little bonus here because I have it within the terms of, like, the years. In 2016, they did an animated movie of Batman the Killing Joke. Ugh, this thing is, oh my God, still, I'm talking about it, thinking about it, it makes my skin crawl. It's going to continue to make my skin crawl whenever I talk about it or think about it. I don't understand what these writers and producers penchant for making every story they make about Batman, about Batman's dick. Like, what is Batman doing with his dick? You know, I wonder. Oh, look, here's a girl. Maybe he's thinking about that girl and his dick. Newsflash for you. Basically, zero Batman stories are about what Batman's doing with his dick. Zero. Batman's dick is not a part of the Batman character. He barely uses it. And yet, Hollywood always makes it about his dick. So in Batman the Killing Joke, the story where famously Batgirl gets shot by the Joker in the spine and she gets paralyzed. It's one of the most classic Alan Moore stories. It ultimately led to Batgirl being transformed into Oracle, being this amazing, handy, capable hacker who was supporting everybody eventually as time grew on. She was like support for the Justice League. What a great character. What an empowering thing for the handicapped community. So amazing is the original Batman the Killing Joke. It's very dark, and the things that came from it story-wise are just beautiful, beautiful. It's drawn by Brian Bolan. I recommend reading the original to anybody. But this story, Batman is banging Batgirl. All right, this is disgusting on so many levels. She's a little kid, okay? And I mean, I'm sure they tried to depict her as 18 or whatever else. Batgirl has traditionally always had a relationship chemistry with Nightwing, with Robin. They're approximately the same age. Additionally, Batman is not Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne is the mask that Batman wears. Batman is Batman. And Batman's best friend, other than Alfred, is Commissioner Jim Gordon. But not after Batman's banging his daughter. He's, hey, come be my Batgirl and we could bang in our rubber costumes every now and then. Oh, bleh, bleh, bleh. I don't even know what to do. I need to throw up. I need to throw up so many times. Give me a bucket because it's just disgusting. Batman the Killing Joke. You know what this story's missing? Batman having sex with a young girl. Batman should be having sex with one of his wards. You know how everybody was making jokes about how he's probably having sex with Robin? Let's make him have sex with his best friend's young and impressionable daughter. Ugh, it is like, ugh. I don't even know how to say all of the ways that I hate it. I hate it, I hate it. Get it off of my tongue. Ugh. Moving on, because I can't even think about that anymore. Number 9, Birds of Prey. Actually, you know, I said that the other one was like the most egregious on the list. This could be, because it's just such a waste. 2020's Birds of Prey, the emancipation of one Harley Quinn. All right, first and foremost, Harley Quinn's got nothing to do with the Birds of Prey, period. Nothing to do with them. So this was just a, how do we introduce Harley Quinn and also get a lot of other characters out into the thing? Terrible idea. Birds of Prey is awesome. Birds of Prey has always been Batgirl in her wheelchair, the Oracle character, and she's got agents. And at different times, she's had more agents than other times. She's had Black Canary as her main agent, Huntress, and a couple other characters have come in along the way. I mean, now at this point, probably a lot of different characters have come in along the way. But usually she's got like a little team of her 007s. It's like female 007s, and they're going out on missions, and she's helping them out. It's a great comic, and this movie could have been a loving send-up to this book, and it wasn't. First and foremost, the main character, Black Canary, she doesn't look like Black Canary. She's one of the most classic characters in DC Comics. You see her and her blonde hair as she kisses Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, him and his blonde hair and his green costume and blonde hair and her blonde hair and her black costume and her fishnets. This is a visual that we've seen for ages, this character, these relationships, the relationship to the blonde with the redheaded Barbara Gordon as Oracle. First and foremost, the race swapping, changing of this character, there was no need to do that. None of this looks like the thing. It is not recognizable as the Birds of Prey. Huntress doesn't exactly look like herself either. I was sort of confused by that casting. There was any number of cool, badass Italian people who they could have cast as Helena Bertinelli, the heir to the Bertinelli crime family. The biggest problem with the whole thing is Batgirl. Batgirl, she doesn't speak. She was trained by her surrogate father, David Kane, who is supposed to be basically one of the top five assassins, fighters, whatever, in the DC universe. And he never taught her to talk. And she's a mute. And she reads body language. And she reads energy. And because she reads body language and energy, she is a match for Batman. She is so good, because she has trained with the best. They say when you lose a sense, your other senses amplify. Well, that's the situation with Batgirl, Cassandra Cain. She's one of my favorite characters. She had her own solo book for forever, where her mouth area, where traditionally there's their nose and their mouth, you could see in the Batman cowl, hers was sewn shut, covered up, because she didn't talk. She was such a badass, fun, cool character, one of my favorites, a character I desperately wanted to get my hands on to write when I was pitching DC back in the day. And that character in the stupid Birds of Prey movie is just a nothing. All of them, every one of those characters in that movie, they're all just nothing burgers. Why would I ever want to see these people again? And that bizarre interpretation of Black Mast and Zaz, that movie sucks. Movie sucks, and holy crap, all they had to do was adapt some Birds of Prey. Birds of Prey is great. It's so funny to me how, like, I see the promotional people lambasting people on Twitter who don't like Birds of Prey or don't like She-Hulk, and they're sexist, and like, dude, She-Hulk's my favorite character. Birds of Prey is one of my favorite comics. Batgirl's one of my favorite characters. Not the Barbara Gordon Batgirl, the Cassandra Cain Batgirl, which you just maimed. You did such a disservice to these characters. You are doing a disservice to the female characters. And when we say they suck, it's because they suck. Not because we're sexist. We loved them. We love those characters. We just don't like your versions because you're stupid in the way you have executed them. You did not bother to acknowledge the years of them being executed wonderfully by dozens and dozens and dozens of different writers and artists. For years, they've been doing it. They've been demonstrating how to do it a way that we'd like. And you just did whatever the hell you wanted to do. And then you got people going, I don't like this. That doesn't mean we're sexist. That means you're an asshole and you weren't paying attention and you delivered shitty goods, okay? This is not what we ordered. Send it back to the kitchen. All right, finally, at number 10 on the list, we've got the recent The Flash movie. It's so funny because The Flash is based on a recent Geoff Johns miniseries called Flashpoint, which honestly, Flashpoint is good, but it's not one of Geoff Johns' best things. Geoff Johns, you can read pretty much anything he's ever written except for his new 52 Justice League, and I'd say okay is his Flashpoint. It's just another freaking multiverse and all these different versions of these characters. And the coolest things that they do in that movie, sorry, in that comic book miniseries, they don't do in the Flash movie. They don't even do them. You don't see the crazy aggro Aquaman from that alternate world. You don't see the alternative Cyborg or the alternative Wonder Woman. You just meet Batman from the 80s. And the universal logic there isn't even consistent. We see the supposed Nicolas Cage, Tim Burton Superman in a portal. He should have been the one in the bunker. Instead, we get this female Supergirl. Okay, so they're just whatever, making it up as they go along. No consistency. Additionally, we've got a Barry Allen who, because they wanted things to be funny, is more like Wally West. They should have just given us Wally West and forgotten all about the fact that they brought Barry Allen back in the comics. It was one of the biggest mistakes that they made. I mean, honestly, those Barry Allen Flash books that Geoff Johns wrote, those are my other gripes, just because it just does such a disservice to Wally. And we were all enjoying reading The Adventures of Wally West. He was an important linchpin of the DC Universe, and basically he's become nothing. And they've been screwing him up worse and worse and worse in the comic books ever since they brought Barry back. So to have a Barry who has dark hair, he doesn't even look like Barry, he doesn't act like Barry, any of these things, and they're doing a storyline based on Flashpoint, and they're not actually doing any of the freaking Flashpoint story beats. This is an adaptation of the comics in name only. Now, this is the end of my list, but I'm going to say that coming up, we've got Superman Legacy. And if you've heard any of the announcements that have been coming out, I mean, I'm not shit talking it ahead of time, but I am saying that based on all the characters that are going to appear in Superman Legacy, James Gunn does not care about the universe that you and I love. And they are going to do whatever they want to do. I mean, that's what he did with Peacemaker. And that's why Peacemaker's at the top of this list. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Just prepare yourself. This stuff is not going to look very much like the things that we grew up on, the graphic novels that you can go back still and read. They are not going to be reflective of it. Anyway, this is Jesse Blaze Snyder. I do a main show every week on Wednesday, Coolest Geek Live. Come check me out. If you want to write me a letter, I usually read letters when I have time. It's jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. You can write me or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Coolest Geek JBS. I also have an amazing hysterical comic book called King of Kings Number 1 that's kickstarting on Kickstarter right now. You can still go and pledge. I think there's like 30 days yet left. 30 days left. And I got more coming after that. So go to Kickstarter, type in my name. But right now, type in King of Kings Number 1 if you're listening to this on time. And please back our wonderful, hysterical, blasphemous book. Anyway, I love you so much. And I'll see you next weekend for another special episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. Or I'll see you on Wednesday for another fabulous episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. It's my favorite part. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder.
Isn't that heavy?
Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening.
I'll play that!
Coolest Alive.